Jay Beam and Jay Savitri, everyone. I'm Tenmori Soundarajan, and this is the series Cast in the United States with First Post. Today's episode is just an introduction. It's just you and me and our conversation about cast in the United States. This is an important topic for myself and many caste-oppressed Americans because we've been grappling with the specter of caste, particularly as we see caste reorganized all throughout the diaspora, because we often do not talk openly about the taboo it's become in many of our networks all across the country. And the purpose of this series is just to have one-on-one intimate conversations with people who have seen it and who are working to dismantle it. And this is an unusual conversation, partially because of the fact that we have both, caste-oppressed people and people with caste privilege openly sharing the pain of caste apartheid. And this is something that we don't really often like to delve in, but caste is violent for everyone that's involved. And for me, I've been really influenced by this one thinker, Resma Menakem, who wrote this really beautiful book called My Grandmother's Hands, Racialized Trauma and the Pathway to Mending Our Hearts and Bodies. And what I loved about this book is that it really looked at the problem of racial violence and anti-Black violence through this lens of trauma. And he doesn't just talk about white supremacy as a political construct or an ideology. He talks about it as white body supremacy. So a lived somatic experience that has been built up through centuries of interracial violence. And that, you know, Black communities experience one version of white body supremacy, but so do white Americans who watch and are complicit with the violence that is unleashed in their names in order to create white dominance. And to me, that's what I really hope to explore more deeply with you all as we go into these conversations is how are we seeing the violence of caste recreated as networks of complicity get built throughout the country? And, you know, for me, I think where I really encountered this was in the battle around the California textbooks. And for anybody who knows this, this was, you know, this has been a recurring, challenging battle throughout the years where we are seeing, dominant caste forces wanting to push a very particular origin story when it comes to caste. So in the round that, you know, our team was involved in, this was in 2015, we saw dominant caste, primarily Brahmin individuals from groups like the Hindu American Foundation, who were leading a charge to basically erase caste from the textbook and erase the word Dalit. And their argument was that by teaching caste, Hindu children would be bullied and that, you know, in some cases, and this was done by the scholar, Dr. Shiva Bajpai, who was the intellectual architect of their campaign. He would argue in his many letters to the California Board of Education that, in fact, caste was a good thing. Caste actually helped India endure colonialism, and it wasn't even really a big deal in India at all, right? And, as a Dalit, obviously, we thought this is absolutely like horseshit. And so, you know, many, many, many caste-oppressed Californians mobilized to tell their testimonies around this issue. And the thing is that as you begin to scratch the surface of these dominant caste coalitions that were coming forward to erase caste and doing all sorts of other kind of mischievousness in terms of erasing, you know, evidence-based history from the textbooks. And so I think one of the things that is so interesting is that with all of these dominant caste people who were Brahmin and were writing to the Board of Education and making these like very spurious, you know, not evidence-based claims, is that Dr. Shiva Bajpai, who was like the leader of all of this, he never divulged that he was the chair of the Brahmin Samaj of North America. So if caste doesn't exist in the diaspora, why is the Brahmins, you know, the chairperson of the Brahmin Samaj of North America writing to erase the word Dalit from textbooks, right? Just think about that. Think about how wild that is. And that really goes to show to me the sickness that we have in caste, where we see dominant caste people shirking the responsibilities of acknowledgement and recognition of what creates their dominance, while at the same time punishing and creating great consequences for Dalits that speak out about this issue, as well as terrorizing American institutions that want to address this situation. And I think this is why we want to speak out. And this is why this is such a deeply intercaste effort. And to me, the thing that I thought that was so profound in my learning from the California textbook battle was that, you know, in working with the Board of Education, there was another wrinkle to being able to come out about what caste looks like in the U.S., is that for them, they were like, well, you guys have compelling stories. And, you know, we know that you are survivors of atrocity and that you are experiencing discrimination, but you have no data. And I just looked at her and I just thought, again, this is one of the big traps caste oppressed people always have to fall into, is that the narrative of institutions is the narrative of data, is the narrative of, you know, the proof of structural discrimination. And yet how few Dalits exist who have that skill set that are able to create, you know, processes to be able to document that. And for me, that really is like, again, one of the other strange pieces of this is that, you know, Dalits have to like simultaneously, you know, gain access to institutional power, as well as like learn the tools of institution building, as well as the the pedagogies of data, while also living through incredible violence in order to tell the stories of our violence. So when faced with that conversation and also seeing, you know, the mess that dominant caste people were able to make with their resources and their access, it was really clear for our team at Equality Labs that we needed to push this conversation forward and take what we knew anecdotally in terms of how caste operated in our communities and try to create a first data set. And, you know, I was very lucky to work with my colleague, Dr. Mari Zoic Maitri, and we created a really powerful set of first questions. And we were lucky to have mentorship with scholars like Dr. Cornell West. And as we put together our questions, you know, we were really anticipating this not just to be a question set that was directed at Dalits, but really towards all South Asians. Because again, caste doesn't just impact the caste oppressed. Caste impacts all of us. So we actually reached out to hundreds of organizations across the country. It included religious institutions like temples and gurdwaras and churches, as well as, you know, organizing institutions like SALT, which actually works with the South Asian community overall, as well as, you know, cultural associations like the Telugu Association of North America. And to me, what was so interesting at that time when we started to do this outreach, it really shows like how controversial it was to have this conversation at that time. Even simply disseminating the survey led to, you know, tremendous amount of attacks against our team of primarily Dalit women scholars and researchers. So, for example, we got hate threats, we got slurs because we would table like in Indian districts to try to get people to sign up and take the survey. And during that time, there'd be a lot of contentious engagements of people saying we were splitting the community, some through like actual caste epithets and try to intimidate us from taking survey content. We also saw that like even the discussion of caste among certain South Asian organizations threw them into an existential crisis, where one organization said that they couldn't disseminate the survey unless they had a meeting of the board, and that the board conversation was super heated because there was a question about whether or not if they did, you know, release the survey to their membership, would it divide people? Because doesn't the discussion of caste itself divide? And, you know, all of this was just so fascinating because, again, these were conversations that were really then really reflected to us of our fragility, that even though everybody knows that caste comes up in like key moments of our lives, whether it's around relationships or who is allowed into what places of worship or who do we rely on in terms of professional networks in the workplace, Savarna fragility comes out, you know, when caste oppressed people say, let's talk about it. Let's see what this looks like from my vantage point as someone who's caste oppressed versus from you who benefits from caste privilege. As soon as those tables turn, as soon as we take a scholarly, objective eye to better understanding what is the scope of this problem, all sorts of fragile behavior starts to come out. And the thing that I really credit, like, our team and the collective community that came out to support, because again, the caste survey was supported and endorsed by many embed cred organizations all across the country, was that people wanted to be heard and people wanted to discuss and see what was going on in the realm of caste. And of course, like, once we, you know, conducted and got through that harrowing phase of data collection, the data was pretty clear. You know, in our data set, it showed that 1 out of 4 Dalits experienced some form of physical violence. 1 out of 3 experienced some form of educational discrimination. And 2 out of 3 folks experienced some form of workplace discrimination. And just those stats alone were enough for people to take a pause and say, wow, we have a serious problem here. And that's why, you know, according to our data set, again, 1 out of 2 Dalits are afraid of coming out and being outed as caste oppressed. So, you know, those findings just blew our team away because we knew the problem was bad, but we didn't know how bad it was. And it was an incredibly validating thing to be able to have a data set that we could now use to move change and open up a conversation related to caste all throughout the United States. And of course, like, I think that, you know, when we first started as Dalit feminist scholars, we were so deeply connected to the material conditions of our community because we had seen this show up in so many different institutions, from immigration to domestic violence partners to workplace incidents. But to now have a data set that we could use to move those institutions was remarkable. And in the course of the 3 to 4 years after the survey findings, we have seen a sea change in the way that caste is discussed all throughout the diaspora. So, for example, groups who had went into existential crisis about talking about caste now are including caste as part of their protected categories. We also are seeing, you know, in the state of California, the first lawsuit against an American corporation about caste discrimination in the workplace. And it is with a great honor to know that Dalit feminist scholarship with this survey and the report that followed was used as part of those filings. Those are incredible wins, particularly as it came out of a period when caste itself was being denied in another set of policy hearings related to its textbooks. So to see such an incredible turnaround shows the power of what happens when we as a community tackle caste head on and have open and frank conversations about its impacts, its consequences, but also the strategies that we can share to dismantle it. And that's really what we hope will come out of the conversations inspired out of this podcast. We don't, you know, anticipate being the deliverer of the answer, capital A, to all things caste apartheid, but we are hoping that through listening to these intimate conversations, everyone in the audience gets inspired to challenge caste in big ways and small ways, but also learn to better self-examine the hidden nooks and crannies of where caste has impacted your own psyche and the harm that it's done and the harm that we can release if we talk about it together. So with that, welcome to our podcast and join us in our next episodes where we start to talk with different people across the United States about caste, how it materializes in their life, and the ways that they dismantle it. We look forward to catching you on our next episode. Until then, if you want to learn more about the work of Equality Labs and even read the CAST survey, you can find us on the web at equalitylabs.org or on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Until then, J Beam and J Savitri.